a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah, and we're in chapter 53. I trust you have your Bible open. Stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Psalm 98 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelously. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory." That's in Psalm 98. In Psalm 118, it says this, "The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly." Doeth valiantly sounds like a man of war. What is Jesus called? He's called the captain of the Lord's host. He is the one who shows up in Christophanes at the Battle of Jericho. Joshua asked him, "Who are you for, us or our adversaries?" "I'm not for either of you. I'm here as the captain of the Lord's host. I'm just getting things done that need to be done." It's not about picking sides. It's about being God's commanding officer. It says, "The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly." In 118:16 says, "The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly." Isaiah 63 verse 12, it says, "God led them by the right hand of Moses with His glorious arm." God led the people of Israel by the right hand of Moses, but He led Moses with His right arm. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He's revealed to those who are willing to receive it. You see, those who have a hard time believing are going to have a hard time because of the parched earth that was here by the time He showed up, when He had allowed everything to use itself up. And you know what it comes down to is the church age is about used up. The Gentiles are now no longer excited and zealous for Jesus as they once were at the outset and the birth of the New Testament church. The bride is almost completed. And the church has almost outlived her usefulness. And it will come in a moment, and in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain on the earth will be caught up together with them in the air, and we will be ever with the Lord, the rapture of the church. And then the Bible says, then that wicked one will be revealed, who will be one who is a one world ruler. Listen to your newspapers. Listen to your news media. They want a one world government. They're hankering for it. They are bustling. And this is something God said must happen. So we see not only is it hard to believe because of the context in which the Lord Jesus showed up, but it's also hard to believe because you and I would never have put Him in the circumstances that we find Him. The Bible says in the middle of verse 2, it says, "He has no form nor comeliness. And when we see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him." May I say to you, that's the devil's tactic. The devil likes beauty. The devil's the one who transforms himself into an angel of light. And his ministers he puts forth as angels of light. He comes to you and me through the eye gate. He comes to you and me through the ear gate. Gives us the pretty sounds and the pretty pictures and the pretty ideas. And right now we're at the point where we're rebuilding that Tower of Babel. It's coming together brick by brick in our very presence. The curse of the confusion of languages is all but untethered now, because we are referred to by some as virtually spaceship Earth. Because you can be Chinese and you could pull up a website from the Americas and press a button on your computer, and right away you're reading exactly what's on that website in your native tongue. Some of you have apps on your phones that literally translate the languages of others. We're virtually spaceship Earth. I'm telling you guys, He had no form nor comeliness because God said that's not what it's about. You want to know what beauty is? Wait till we get home. Real beauty is at home. The Bible says in Psalm 11, "In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." You see, we've got it out there ahead of us. It is that which we look forward to. But right now, we're living in a broken world. We're in the middle of December. We look at the trees and they're dead. Virtually look dead. I mean, that's not a very pretty sight. Then the Lord dances all over it with a good coat of snow, and we say, wow, it's pretty out there. But for the most part, we get used to the dead trees, and then we see the snow. Or there's an ice storm, and we say, wow, look at it glistening in the sun. Because God knows beauty. But He also wants us to remind ourselves that this world is fallen. And when we see what He did when He sent His Son, He didn't come to pander. He didn't come to win us over through that which is surface and shallow. His goal was your heart. His goal was the heart of man. And so He says, I'm going to lay aside all of this stuff. I'm going to make a man think. I'm going to make a man ponder. I'm going to make a man concern himself with truths that are deeper than that which is earthly. And He says, when we see Him, He has no beauty that we should desire Him. The Bible says in verse 3, not only is He not going to look, quote unquote, attractive, He's going to also be despised and rejected by men. Which means if you're going to sign up to be with Him, you're signing up with somebody who was despised and rejected. You see, Jesus, they wanted to kill Him at age 3, right? All the children, let's go in there and kill all these children. Why? Because they couldn't abide righteousness and goodness. C.S. Lewis said once, years ago, he wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and The Chronicles of Narnia, which most people are familiar with today. But he used to say this, he said, what if that the most terrifying thing in the universe is not evil? What if, in fact, the most terrifying thing is pure goodness? You know, you and I are going to stand in the presence of absolute goodness. It's like one of his novels in the Chronicles series. They were asking, would the evil one in the narrative be able to stand in the presence of the Christ-like person? And he said, I don't think he would be able to stand. You know, that's how you and I are going to feel. But he holds to my hand. And like John, who fell at Jesus' feet on his face, was lifted up and strengthened, as Ezekiel, who fell on his face, was lifted up and strengthened, you and I, who know Jesus, will be lifted up and strengthened. Jesus is coming. Just like MacArthur said, I will return. Jesus said, I will return. And it looked really bad on the front, didn't it? He was leaving the Philippines. Those people thought, where are you going? We need you more than ever. And He did, in fact, return 2.5 years later. But for Jesus, it's been 2,000 years. Because He lets it become dry roots. He lets it become a tender plant. And it defies our imaginings. And when we look at Jesus in the histories, most specifically the Word of God, we find in the histories that He was despised and rejected of men. Now, notice that this is a prophet some 500 years before Jesus was born. And he's using the present tense. He is despised and rejected. You see, the prophet wasn't just talking about something that might happen. He was prophesying of that which would happen. That's what sets the biblical prophets apart. The Bible tells us that in the biblical prophets, what would happen is if they missed on one point, you were to stone them with stones. They had to be absolutely accurate. None of this nonsense of the Gene Dixons of yesterday and the Nostradamuses who have insight to see, I know where this is going to go. And people who are very astute who understand, you know, hey, I'm going to invest in whatever because I can see that it would really go. For instance, the Musks. And the Virgin, I can't remember the guy who's the head of Virgin. I can see him in my mind's eye. But they just got into space. Okay, they're shooting rockets up there thinking they're going to market space flight. And the guy who's over Google, these guys all want to get there first because whoever gets to space first starts selling tickets to go fly in space and come back. They're going to make a lot of... See, they can see. That's not this, man. This is beyond anything. Like, this is specific. If I was going to prophesy something, I wouldn't say the guy who's going to save the world is going to be despised and rejected. Now, how does that play in the modern mind? The Bible says he is despised and rejected of men. He's a man of sorrows. Nobody wants to be around somebody who's sullen. The Bible says he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Surely he had borne our sorrows or our griefs in verse 4. But know this, that when they were challenging Jesus in the Gospels, He says, tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll build it. And He wasn't talking about the temple standing by. Talking about the temple of His own body. Tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. He said, listen, you believe in Me. He says, even Abraham, your father, saw My day and he rejoiced to see it. When you guys heard him say, he saw your day, you're not even yet 50. Now guys, he was 33 years old. They couldn't figure out how old he was, but they said, you're not even 50. He was a man of sorrows. You know, grief can age us, right? The pains and things, you know. Every part of his experience was part of a suffering. He would say it again and again, how long must I suffer you? He had left the realms of glory, having been waited upon by angels. Angels that were so in awe of Him that they would not want to go from His presence. We're told of the seraphim who got up closest. They had 6 wings, these seraphim. With 2 of them they flew right up close to the manifest glory. They couldn't see Him because it was so bright. With 2 of them would fly. With 2 of them, they'd cover their feet. They knew they couldn't stand in His presence. And with 2 of them, they covered their faces. 6 wings. But when He was born in that manger, we are told, surely great is the mystery of godliness. For Jesus, God, was manifest in the flesh. He was seen by the angels. You want to talk about angels we have heard on high? They saw Him for the first time. And when they saw Him, what did they see? They saw a baby. You know, I can't take my wife anywhere where a baby walks by. Oh! I can hear the angels saying, what? What? He's a baby. What? Wait a minute. What? Did you what? What? And the father steps in and says, all right, guys, just watch. And then they begin to see the world moving toward a manger. Not a throne room, not a castle, not a palace. A manger. Strange way to save the world, isn't it? A baby. A manger. Shepherds. One thing about shepherds was they traveled. They didn't have internet back then, just saying. But the shepherds went from place to place, and everywhere they went, they declared what they had seen and been told. And they were never the same. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and everything about His experience in His incarnation was there. The Bible says, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. In verse 3, reminds us of smite the shepherds and sheep shall be scattered. When Jesus was taken, the disciples all fled. They fled. They left Him. When we hear somebody in the day-to-day dismissing Jesus, disrespecting Jesus, we are nervous and maybe slightly afraid to stand up and say, no, I believe Him. I believe Him. To hear the scoffing and the mockery of the day, sometimes we may hide our faces from Him. I don't want to do that. I want my faith to be strong enough to where I can identify with the 3 Hebrews who said, I will not bow down. Because why? Because I believe the report.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.